time now for the Chatham County Roundup. Chatham County Roundup is presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere, and theirs is right here. And we are joined right here in the studio by Bill Horner of the Chatham News and Record for an update on not just Chatham County, but also the state of the newspaper business. You can find them online at chathamnewsrecord.com. Bill, thanks for being with us today. How are
you? Thanks, Aaron. Great to be with you as always.
So we're talking about this in the local context, but this is kind of stemmed from a story that is it national or international, what came out about Warren Buffett selling off his newspapers?
Well, it's national. I mean, certainly big news. This is a guy, probably the greatest investor of all time, who says, you know, I buy companies to hold them, not to sell them. And he sold an entire, you know, segment of his holdings, all of his newspaper properties.
Mm-hmm. And what did he say about it when he did?
Well, you know, it was big news. So he has been, you know, he delivered newspapers as a child. Of course, you know, at his annual stockholder meetings, he holds a newspaper tossing contest all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's owned newspapers since 1977, and he has been buying papers for quite a while and accumulated a collection of 31 newspapers, including a bunch in North Carolina, the Winston-Salem Journal, the Greensboro News and Record, plus the papers in Statesville, Morganton, McDowell, and Hickory. And, you know, when he made those purchases a few years ago, for those of us in the industry, it was really a very affirming thing. This is a guy who is seen as the best investor probably in the United States history,
mm-hmm.
who looks at this industry and says, look, I'm a fan. I think there's still value in newspapers. And put together this collection of papers. And actually, these papers, they started hiring. When the trend in the industry was to lay off, they started making hires in the newsroom. So when he made the announcement last week to sell the papers to Lee Enterprises, which actually is a company that's been managing his properties for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
it was kind of a gut kick to a lot of us in the business, because it was, you know, was an admission on his part that, you know, this industry is, you know, has reached a tipping point. In fact, he said last year that he thought the industry was toast, even though he's an addict, even though he's an investor. You know, so when this happened, it was really big news for us.
Yeah. What does it mean for those papers? The managing company is taking over ownership, so.
Well, so it's hard to say exactly what's going to mean in terms of the day-to-day operation. I don't think it's going to mean a whole lot, because mm-hmm. Lee Enterprise has been managing the papers. The question is, you know, when you look at any kind of consolidation, and we've seen this in the industry for so long, you know, what kind of, how are they going to try to leverage the consolidation to cut costs? And, you know, in any, you know, in our business particularly, your largest costs are always personnel. So I think the people at those papers are real concerned about layoffs and headcount.
Right, right.
And this is, you know, in our industry, we've lost. I know I read something last week that said that newsrooms lost almost 4,000 jobs alone in 2019. I think, you know, about one quarter of people who work in newspapers have lost their jobs in the last 15 years, if not more. So what is that going to mean for those papers?
Yeah. And what's it going to mean for the communities that those papers serve, right?
Yeah. And that's a key question, too. And, you know, one of the things that that Buffett has always said, and those of us in the industry who you know, who care so much about the product that we produce and our audiences, that, you know, if we're not there to provide information, quality, great, accurate news, compelling news, great storytelling for our audiences, who's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just, you know, here in Chapel Hill, Penny Abernathy from UNC, who has been kind of the leading researcher and in this area, has talked about the fact that there's so many news deserts in the United States. There are, I think, I don't have the number right in front of me, but there are, you know, 1,500, you know, communities of decent size without newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, and we've seen in a community where there's not a newspaper, we know that property taxes go up compared to communities where there is a newspaper, because among other things, we serve as that watchdog of local government to ask questions about, you know, how are you using our tax dollars? You know, how are you managing? How are you administrating things in the town? So when newspapers aren't there to tell that story, you know, how does the story get told? And we know, I think we know anecdotally the answer. We see it through social media. You know, in Chatham County, you know, we've got interesting Facebook groups. You know, we've got interesting bulletin boards who purport to be news sources and sites.
Right.
They're not.
They're not,
But you have people who don't really know the difference. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, in, especially in a political season, about low-information voters. You know, people know what they consume, and if they are consuming social media, which we know a lot of the news and information that's pushed and shared through social media is not totally accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Not that newspapers are perfect, but when so much of that is shared is not accurate, then how can we expect people to make good decisions, especially when it comes to time to get out of the ballot box?
Yeah, I mean, not only, I was speaking with Bill Horner, Chatham News and Record, not only not accurate, but maybe not inaccurate, but highly sensationalized, and that contributes to not just misinformation, but divisiveness, right? Polarization between people who get their information from different news outlets.
Sure, it does. And that's, you know, this is, we've seen this in society, and this is, you know, when I talk to my friends about the what's happened in the newspaper industry, you know, I fear more for society than anything else, because we've gotten to this point where cocooning is so prevalent. You know, so cocooning is when you consume information that aligns only with your own viewpoint. So we go from a time from where we have politicians who are statesmen who can work across the aisle and collaborate on doing what's best for the greater good, to now where it's all about party politics.
Mm-hmm.
We had our, I know you've had Zachary Horner, our reporter, talking about the One Chatham event. We had our One Chatham event last week. And it's interesting, Robert Reeves II, who's the representative in North Carolina House from Chatham County, he was featured in the podcast. And one of the things that he talked about in this podcast on teen mental health that has really been a detriment for teens and youngsters is this divisiveness, this polarization, because from the get-go, you are identified by your party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this divisive political climate, you're identified by your party, not by who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And it just creates a lot of stress, strife, unnecessary bad feelings. And I think we've just kind of forgotten how to collaborate, how to really have substantive conversations in ears over which we disagree.
Yeah, and there is certainly a way to do that, even in the context of polarization and partisanship and party politics. One of the fascinating things that I read recently, I was reading a couple of books about the history of journalism, and it was up until shockingly recently that newspapers were very explicitly identified with one party or another, to the point where it was in 1792, I think Thomas Jefferson is bringing down his James Madison's college buddy from New York to Philadelphia to start a newspaper just for his party to attack the other side, because the other side's already got that. Like, that was the level, and yet these were also statesmen who were able to communicate across party lines. So it's possible, just we need to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, we still have a lot of newspapers called the Democrat, in the United States, or the Advertiser.
Yep.
You know, and there's supposed to be this line between the advertising department and the newsroom.
But,
I agree with you. So there's been a, the industry has certainly changed, you know, just as society has changed. I mean, we look at, there's no facet of our culture today that hasn't undergone some significant shift. But I think the one element that has remained unchanged is this idea of truth, you know, truth and fairness. And so when truth goes away, and we all know what's happened with this whole idea of truth and this idea of what constitutes truth and is your truth different than my truth, particularly when it comes to politics, you know, when that goes out the window, then what are we left with?
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Bill Horner, Chatham News Record. So let's bring it locally, because you work with a newspaper very closely every single day. How is life at the Chatham News and Record?
Well, for us, you know, our mission is really to provide a great newspaper to the readers of Chatham County, to tell the story of what's going on, to really kind of hold up a mirror to the community, to reflect that community, but also to inform them. I think part of the challenge of being a newspaper is not only do you have to tell what's going on, but you have to get out in front to do enterprise-type reporting and to bring solutions to the table. So we want to talk about what's relevant, what's important, what's compelling, what are the areas where we need to work together to make changes, and that's part of the reason we've done the One Chatham events with the Reese News Lab and the folks at Our Chatham up at UNC, is because, you know, it's one thing for us, and I said this at our One Chatham event last week, you know, some newspapers, you know, want to report the news. Some newspapers want to report the news and also point out problem areas, but I think a great newspaper is going to do both of those, but also bring solutions to the table. I think as part of the fabric of the community, we've got to be responsible for doing that. So for us, it's about, and we've talked about this quite a bit here on your show over the last year, with the things going on in Chatham County, with the debate about the Confederate Monument, with the debate about Chatham Park, with the divisiveness in the community. You've got such a, in fact, I was on the phone on the way over here with someone that we're working with from the American Press Institute talking about the stark contrast between the northern and southern and eastern ends of Chatham County. The one thing that I think would tie us all together is we're all part of Chatham County. I think we all want to know what the truth is. So part of our responsibility there is to talk about what's going on. And what we've tried to do week in and week out, 24 pages, 28 pages, however large our edition is to really tell what's the truth about what's going on in Chatham County. For example, in our paper this week, we're kicking off a three-part series about the sales tax referendum that's going to be on the ballot in March. I've seen so much that's been published or that's been posted on Facebook and in these bulletin boards that we see online about the sales tax that's just not accurate. In fact, we had two letters to the editor this week about different issues that contain factual inaccuracies that we had to kick back to the readers and say, look, what you've said here, you know, this is a forum for opinion, but what you're saying here is blatantly false. So, you know, part of our responsibility is to be a place where we can talk about what that is and share that information with the readers.
And it's important to know, and there's several things that you said there that are extremely important, but that last thing, there is a difference between two people expressing different opinions and two people expressing positions on a factual question where one is right and one is wrong.
Yeah, and when your opinions are based on some inflammatory post you've seen on Facebook or something you see on Twitter, you know, it's what's that worth? You know, what is it worth? If it's not really accurate and not really true, then, you know, the debate or the conversation that takes place from that is flawed from the outset.
Yeah. The existence of One Chatham, I think, is the Chatcast, which is the podcast, is really, I think, telling about the future of news. And I mean, not because you're sitting right here, but I think the Chatham News and Record does a fantastic job covering news in Chatham County in a variety of different ways and in a variety of different mediums, right? You've got the podcast, you've got the physical newspaper, but I'm looking at the website here, which has that information and in some cases even more that might not appear in the newspaper. And it's fantastic. And I think, you know, you think back to moments in history when one medium might become more anachronistic and disappear, but it's not like the service that they provide goes away. We don't telegraph anymore, but we can still communicate with each other. The phone book we don't use anymore, but we can still find people's phone numbers, and we can do that better now than we could then. So if it comes to that with the newspaper industry, you pose the question, who's going to do it? That's not a rhetorical question. Yeah. Someone's going to do it, and ideally we want it to be the right people. So how does the news industry move forward in a way that continues to provide the same service, either with newspapers or in a different way?
Well, I think the first thing that the industry has to do is do a really good job of doing what it says it does. So,
100%.
You know, one of the things that we've seen with newsrooms shrinking and budgets being tightened and corporate ownership becoming so prevalent in the industry is we've seen the product suffer.
Yes.
This was 15, 20 years ago. I had a vendor in my office, and we were talking about, and this was, you know, this is probably 1990 something.
These are the salad days of
When we thought the industry was coming in, and this guy said to me, he said, you know, the newspaper industry is not dying, it's committing suicide. And I think that in a lot of newsrooms where divestiture has taken place, where there's not been this conscious effort to really derive a great product, you know, that's unfortunate. I think that has contributed, I think, in part to the demise. So, you know, the way we do it is by going to where people are. You know, so we've done that. We've reached out through Twitter. We're doing a lot of things with our Instagram page right now. We're looking at a number of different digital applications to try to figure out ways to reach folks. And it's all about trying to build the audience. And that's what's tough for anybody, not mm-hmm. just our industry. It's tough for anybody because there's so much noise out there. I mean, even in the radio business, mm-hmm. you know, we've seen that. You know, we talk about the fact that, you know, we live in the information age, and we've been saying that for a long, long time. There's a statistic that I always trot out whenever I speak to civic groups, and that is from the beginning of recorded time until 2003, so that's a long period of time. From the beginning of recorded time to 2003, the total amount of information created, if you were to assemble it, was about 50 billion gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it takes about 6 minutes for us to produce that same amount. So
yeah.
There's such an overload. So there's so much noise out there of information. So it's important that there, where we draw our information from is an accurate source.
Yep.
And that gets back to this idea of cocooning, you know, the debate about Fox and CNN. You know, are you a Fox person or CNN? And it's funny listening to the people talk about and people's responses. But I think it really is incumbent upon all of us to really look at all sorts of different viewpoints,
mm-hmm.
Opinions, as well as trying to find a good source of information that's factual.
Yep.
So it's one thing to digest and consume opinions and formulate ideas based on that, but we've got to incorporate factual, accurate news information that's not biased, that's not told with a slant, that's not sold with some kind of a clickbait headline.
Yeah.
To try to take us to where we're formulating how we think about the world around us.
And it's at this point in the conversation, whenever this comes up, that I always make the point that puts the responsibility on literally everyone.
Yeah.
It's on the news industry, newspapers, and journalists to provide that quality product, but it's also on consumers to seek it out and not to reward the sensationalistic and the factually inaccurate by giving it clicks and page views.
Yeah, I saw something today, and I can't remember if it was from Axios or some other source, but the number of mentions of Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
So Kobe Bryant's tragic death and the deaths of those other people on that helicopter got many, many more times mentioned in the Super Bowl, then the Iowa caucuses, then impeachment, then coronavirus, all those other things, which are huge mm-hmm. news for us. The thing that swamped all of them was Kobe Bryant, and it was certainly a tragedy. And of course, when the news happened, you know, like anybody else, I was trying to figure out what was going on. I was on Twitter, and I was trying to find the source and trying to find good information. But you know, our appetite for that type of news, I mean, while certainly a tragic thing, in the scheme of things, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, in terms of shaping society, how important is that?
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, it's, we talk about this kid in a candy store, you know, you let a kid loose in a candy store, you know, it's going to be junk food. I think there's a time and a place for us to scroll Facebook and to you know, look on Twitter and to, you know, kind of have a lighter information entertainment. But I think it is incumbent upon us, and it behooves all of us to go to a source of information that's accurate, that really can tell us what's going on and what it means, so we can make our own decisions.
Speaking with Bill Horner, again, ChathamNewsRecord.com is the website for the Chatham News and Record, as well as the Chatcast podcast, which we've been mentioning. We got to wrap up. Let's wrap up with this. What are you optimistic about?
Well, I think I'm optimistic in this day and age of all, despite the political divisiveness, I think things have, the pendulum has swung so far to this partisanship idea that I think at some point it's got to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's got to bounce back. I read something recently that talked about how, you know, the Trump bump that has helped so many news outlets is beginning to hurt because there's this news fatigue. I think the fatigue of trying to digest so much information, so much of it slanted, bad, whatever, I think is going to drive people to really pursue this idea of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going into a really heavy political season where we're going to elect a president and every other major type of office. We're going to have big ballots when we hit the elections in November. I think people are going to be really desirous of accurate information, of real newsy information that's going to help them inform their decisions.
ChathamNewsRecord.com is the website for the Chatham News and Record. You can find it. You can read it. It is well worth doing. Bill Horner, thank you so much for
Thanks for having us today.
This has been the Chatham County Roundup, made possible by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. Find them online at WeaverStreetRealty.com.